This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row on The Bigger Picture and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. In a project called Beyond Borders, A Search for Self, Malaysian artist Jeffrey Lim collaborated with Taiwanese indigenous artist Posak Jodian to visually document the cultural and social histories of indigenous communities in Peninsular Malaysia. They will both be doing a series of talks and presentations on the project. Jeffrey and Posak are here with me today. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Yeah, so this project, it's actually grown out of a previous project, I understand, which was called Kanta Box Camera.
Yes.
Could you kind of explain what exactly this project currently involves and how it started?
Oh, Kanta Box Camera started in 2012 and I started building my own cameras. It's instant camera and it's made from waste and I make instant portraits. So now, currently, I'm traveling with the cameras and making portraits of people I meet along the way.
Mm. Mm. So Beyond Borders itself, how does that use your Kanta Box cameras?
All right. So Beyond Borders is an extension of this project. After I built the camera, I wanted to search about identity, about myself, how I came to be in this country and how our country has formed itself.
Right.
And that's led me to Taiwan. So that's how far I've gone.
So where does Posak come in? I mean, I know, Posak, you're from Taiwan.
Yeah.
How did you guys link up and how did the idea to work together happen?
Well, the thing that brought me to Taiwan was my research into who we really are. And a lot of my research into indigenous people pointed me to Taiwan. And when I was in Taiwan working with a few art centres, Posak was one of the artists that responded. So we started a collaboration and we went and visited her home village and other tribal villages as well.
Right. And Posak, you are actually from an indigenous community in Taiwan.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about your community?
My community is like the biggest tribes now in Taiwan because we have more population. But in my village is the most big one in Amis tribe. So it's like me, I cannot really speak my language. I only know a few things of my culture. So for me, before this project, I already want to have a video to talk about my identity. So that's why when I meet Jeffrey, I think we can cooperate to each other.
You're from the Pangcha tribe.
Pangcha tribe.
So what actually is Beyond Borders? Hmm. What does the project involve?
Well, Beyond Borders has several meanings. One is inter-country, beyond country, but then indigenous don't see countries.
Yeah.
They are indigenous first before any nationality. So that is one of the meaning of the title.
And what does the project involve?
Well, it's such a big project. It's grown beyond what we expected. But I think it was a search for identity. I think meeting a lot of people in the field, understanding their consciousness about their circumstances, who they are, where they are within the country, within the community, within the family.
Mm.
So that is what we push for or search for.
Right. And how exactly did this... So you basically, as part of your work with the Kanta Box,
yes,
you started documenting, I suppose, the more... the lesser heard voices and people in Malaysia. How did this lead you to wanting to work with indigenous communities in particular?
Well, for one thing is we have many... we have many races in Malaysia, or we project ourselves as multicultural. But if you were to search into the deeper meaning of what it is to be, or who are the people here, then the indigenous communities were a very unheard of or not studied enough. So that's why they were one of my most important topic. And I needed to research into that.
Mm.
And then, of course, Malaysia is very interesting because Malaysia has two parts, East and West. And I use linguistics as a reference point. And we have two major language groups in Malaysia, Austronesians and Austroasiatic. So Austronesians, which is mainly in East Malaysia and even Malays, would find their origin in Taiwan.
Mm.
But Malaysia is actually very unique because we have two major language groups here. And they mean very two distinctively different language groups.
Mm. And for you, Posak, you know, you've done a lot of work in ethnolinguistic study.
Mm.
You also make film,
mm.
and that often relates to things like identity and culture.
Mm.
So what is it like for you to bring that and to work in a different country?
For me, as we already like do two trips, and actually, for the indigenous here, maybe like a culture, language, we don't have that much link to each other, but the experience we have is quite similar.
Mm.
Yeah. So this so the situation we've been through, the history, that's the thing I can like exchange to the people in here.
Right. Know? And what do you mean when you say that the experience is similar? What are you talking about?
Because before we have colonized in Taiwan, like Japanese, Dutch, and we always, the land, the indigenous land always being taken by other people.
Mm.
Even now, we still don't have our land.
In terms of the project that the both of you are working on, what will it? What form will it take? What will we as the audience see once you have completed your work?
Well, I'm in print-based,
yeah.
So they would see a lot of portraits and, of course, a lot of written stories.
For me, the really big important thing is I can show the video to the people I filming. Like the last one I filming from Song of Power is from my family. So I show them. So they start to like have a different response, because before they don't really care about identity or what's the situation in indigenous community now. But when they see my film, we start to talk about that. Yeah.
Mm.
It starts to have a social exercise.
Right.
And I think we've also discovered a lot of things about ourselves and what makes identity so important. Yeah.
So you describe what you are doing here currently as receiving stories, myths, and ballads through various materials like portraits, documentary, and audio recording. Mm-hmm. What does this actually involve?
Well, maybe I can talk a bit about our previous project in Taiwan.
Yeah.
So when we started researching, we asked about their name, where they're from, how they get there. And we also talk a lot about stories, because a lot of indigenous communities keep their memories through stories.
Mm.
It's all oral tradition. Nothing's never written, passed down through generation. But where did this language come from? Oral tradition comes through language, through space. It's linked to the space, context of where they are. So it is very important that language is kept alive through communities who live on traditional land. Because once any of this is removed, they lose themselves.
Mm. So what exactly then are you guys doing? How are you documenting this work? You know, who have you been working with?
Well, we've spoken mainly to elders, because a lot of people in the villages are only very old,
right,
or very young.
Yeah.
All the young ones have gone to the city to work because of economic conditions. And so the elders have all the stories.
Mm.
But they're losing touch. So they're not passing down the stories, and that's where we feel the gap of where we lose ourselves. Why I don't speak Chinese myself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And when you say elders, basically you're talking about the elders of the different Orang Asli communities in Malaysia, the indigenous communities in Malaysia. You're working with four particular communities, are you?
Well, we're visiting four.
Right.
Yeah.
We're visiting four communities, four very distinctively different, and also different social circumstances. So some of them live in the city, so they have different kind of exposure. And some of them are really far deep in the forest. And they have very different conditions and very different ideas to how they can survive.
Which communities in particular are you working with here?
In Malaysia?
Yeah.
We've been to Desa Temuan, which is really close by here.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the Temia tribe, Upper Perak. And then we're going to visit the Jakun, in Rompin. And the last one would be the Ma Mary Polo Kerry.
And was there a particular reason that these four communities were selected?
Yes. All four reflected very different circumstances. But it's also in relation to the story in Taiwan. Taiwan, we visited, I think, maybe 3 to 4 different tribes and 3 to 4 different circumstances. One being of Orang Aslis in the city. How do they integrate? And then the other one was a very remote tribe. And then another one is with the introduction of world religion, Christianity and Islam, and so on and so forth. And how does the community face that? And then the fourth one is an island-based community.
We also really we will interview some youth in the community because they lost their culture in a way. So we also want to know what's the way they're seeing the culture now.
And does doing this give you a new perspective on the work that you have already been doing in Taiwan?
You mean as long as now?
Yeah.
Yes, it's quite like a, how to say that, cultural impact.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, she had a culture shock.
Why exactly? What was so different?
Because you still have many. As I see, the community still keep the language really well, and the culture really well. The elders still remember. They can tell a long story. Mm. If it's me in Taiwan, I can only know a short one. Some part of the story, and I cannot really really understand deeply through our language. Mm. But you still have this,
And are you working with any local organizations to kind of facilitate these visits and this project?
Yes. So I've collaborated with COAC. COAC stands for Center for Orang Asli Concern. And they have been very kind enough to bring me into the field to experience and understand what's happening on the ground to certain communities. And the other one is JOAS, which is, I did not mention, but it's Jaringan Orang Asli Malaysia, some Malaysia, or Indigenous Network of Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I've been to Sabah and Sarawak and also Peninsula Malaysia, visiting and understanding different communities. And from there, I drew up this project to visit Taiwan and to bring Taiwan here. So then we could draw some sort of parallel or some sort of storyline, narrative about what's happening.
Mm. Yeah. And what is this? What is this narrative or story that you hope to tell?
Mm. Well, we're uncovering more and new things. So the more answers we find, the more questions we get. but yeah, I think we are going to talk about how... I think it's a very complex situation, between a nationally constructed identity and indigenous communities who have lived the land. So in a way, I do feel like I'm a potted plant. Mm-hmm. I've lost touch with the earth, whereas these indigenous communities still have this very close connection with the land. Mm. And that's something I feel longing for. That's why I started a project, because I didn't know who I was. Yeah.
And for you, Pozak, how much of your own experiences or your own background as an Indigenous person yourself, when you tell these stories, how much do you draw on your own personal stories?
Quite much. Because the way tracing back is stopped because the personal reason I want to know myself. My culture, my identity. And the previous project we do in Taiwan is actually is about the history we have and also about the way the young people seeing the culture. Mm. Yeah.
And what are some of the challenges so far that you have faced in terms of putting this project together, going out into the field and visiting these communities?
Well, I think the logistics, first of all, because we travel to really distant places, sometimes really hard. And the kind of equipment I carry, the kind of equipment she carries, is a lot. We carry between us maybe 20 to 30 kgs each. And then, of course, in the field doing recording and not knowing what is the outcome. Because yes, our tangible outcome is probably going to be prints, portraits, and a film. But then, what is this narrative we're going to talk about?
Which you still haven't actually answered for me, right?
Yes, yes. So it's getting deeper and deeper and deeper. So the we are only scratching the surface with our equipment, you know. So the story is actually much deeper than that. So I think at the end of the day, we would produce this film and make these portraits, but it has a longer lasting impression on us, and we might produce other works in reflection to that.
Mm. And that's why we want to do like many talk to audience or to outside people, because there's many things we want to share in this process.
Mm. Yeah. And what were the challenges that you faced?
We went to a village, have no electricity. So all my equipment need the electricity for charging. So every day I need to count how much battery I can use.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Well, because we are both quite outdoorsy.
Yeah.
So we are okay with food. We ate a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And then we rough it out.
I love the food.
I think one of our challenges is maybe language.
Language.
Because it's good that both of us can speak English. I can speak English, though, because I can't speak Chinese. And in the field in Taiwan, she was my translator.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she herself doesn't speak her native language, so that means we need another translator.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when we meet an elder, there are four translators. Between the elders, and then someone in the community could understand what the elder is speaking, and then translate that to Mandarin, and then from Mandarin translate it to English, and then it comes to me. The same thing here.
So it's interesting when you talk about language, because it's such a big part of the project that you're working on, right? But in many ways, especially when it comes to Indigenous communities, they are often not allowed to speak for themselves. They're often not given the space to speak for themselves. And, you know, as for someone like you, Jeffrey, when you are not from those communities and you are working on a project that involves them, how do you balance this in terms of telling a story but still not taking away their voice or being able to speak for themselves?
That's right. I would have to speak from my opinion. So it's more like an observatory point of view. But of course, we do a lot of audio recordings, and we also make a lot of documented photographs. In a way, we actually speak their voice through this portrait, through this recording, through this story. And we do not judge in that sense. We do not opinionate what they say, but it's a reflection of who they are, where they are. And our story is not about a documentation of or a history or factual find. We are trying to understand the social circumstance that affect not just Indigenous communities, but who we are in the city, or people from Taiwan, stuff like that.
Because in here, I don't really know how to, because I cannot speak Malay, I cannot really communicate with them. But I will start with the simple question. Like I would, the beginning is like I would want to know what's your life story more than the culture. So it's like your life story will bring out what's the way you're living. Yeah, that's the way I'm doing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what are some of the things that artists and creatives need to keep in mind when they're working with communities that often have not been given a voice?
Well, for one is that one of the biggest mistakes a lot of, I think, not only artists, but anthropologists and stuff, they impose their culture. Because when you view a culture, you view it from your culture, so you have a lot of bias. Mm. So in one way, in the way we work, we try to allow or try not to be judgmental, but allow them to express themselves. Because they live in very different social circumstances. And that is what we're trying to understand, how they would negotiate and navigate themselves within the environment. So by plunking ourselves all of a sudden in an island in the middle of the ocean, going to a deep forest jungle, it's so different circumstances. But then we start to understand the human nature and the challenges they face.
And actually, we're doing this portrait by relationship between we and the village people in there. And actually, when we go to, before we go inside the village, we don't know what kind of people we're going to meet.
So we don't really have a very precise objective.
Yeah.
We're just there to understand and experience and probably hope to reflect.
Right.
Yeah.
So we will be seeing some, we will be getting a bit of a glimpse into the work that you've been doing when you do your talk and presentation, you know, in early May.
Yes.
What will you be showing us on? Because I know the full project is only going to be ready in July, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. But what will we be seeing at these talks and presentation?
Well, in the presentation, we probably will reflect on our trip in Malaysia, the four villages we've been to, and we will put on display portraits, mm-hmm. prints that we've made of people there, and some audio clips, recordings, and some of the visual clips that we've also seen.
Mm-hmm.
And POSEC also will show the first movie, some clips from the first movie as well.
Mm.
The first movie meaning the one that you made in Taiwan?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. It's called
Lakuts. Lakuts means crossing the river.
I see. And how about this, the movie that you're, the film that you're making from this experience, when will that be ready for viewing?
You mean Lakuts?
No, this new
Malaysian
one.
Chapter.
The Malaysian one.
Oh. I don't know yet.
It'll be ready in July.
Yeah.
It has to be ready in July. We have a submission in July. And there should be an exhibition in Taipei with the prints and this screening.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a video installation. So in the previous one, there was a video installation of the relationship between the community and the river. So there was an installation as well. So there will be an exhibition, hopefully in Taipei.
Right.
And I hope to bring it to Malaysia eventually.
Well, thank you very much for coming to speak to me about the project.
Thank you, Shamila.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Jeffrey Lim and POSEC Jodian, who are working on a visual documentation project of local indigenous communities called Beyond Borders, A Search for Self. They're doing a series of talks and presentations on the project on the 4th and 5th of May. And for more information on the venue details, do check out Kantha Portraits on Facebook. If you missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts from bfm.my, on our BFM app, or on Spotify. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.